Hello, hello. Welcome to the Engineered Entrepreneur Show. I am your host, Sarah Sheikh. I'm an engineer turned multi-six-figure fashion designer and a business growth strategist. I have a master's degree in cybersecurity engineering and 25 years of corporate experience and a wife and a mother of three wonderful children. This is your show to learn from me and other inspiring entrepreneurs the how-tos of brand visibility, business growth, funnel and website design so you can put your purpose into action. So if you are ready to uplevel your business strategy and your income to live your best life while making impact on the world, this is the show for you. I'm thrilled to have you here. So let's get rocking. Hello, hello, everyone. Happy Monday afternoon. And I'm so excited that I finally have Suzanne on the line to get started with the interview. So without further ado, let's bring Suzanne on so we can go through the intro and get with the interview. Hello, hello, Suzanne. Good to have you here.
Sarah, welcome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course, of course. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation. I'm excited to have gotten this chance to chat with you, especially I am so interested with the topic that we're going to be discussing with. So if you want to go ahead and do a little bit of intro, we can get started with the interview.
Okay, sure, definitely. Well, I'm Suzanne Moriga, and I have been a CPA for over 20 years. Yes, over 20 years. Oh my goodness. And recently, I'm also a certified tax coach, American Institute of Certified Tax Planner certified. And what that means is I specialize in high net worth taxation. And I'm even more excited because I have a book that's coming out tomorrow. You guys can probably see it first from Minority Business Enterprise. Sarah, I'll have to send you one of these so that you have one.
So I'm excited about that. And for everyone who's watching, I know you may have heard Profit First, but Suzanne just wrote a book on Profit First, but for minority business. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what Profit First is. So, you know, people who are not aware of what that means so they can understand better. And then we'll talk about your book also.
Thank you. You know, Profit First is, I am like a diehard on Profit First. You know, I started my business about 13 years ago. You know, like I said, I've been a CPA for 20 years. I did some work with the big four accounting firms with Anderson and KPMG. Mm-hmm. And about 13 years ago, I decided to start my own business because I was having my little girl. And at the time, the company that I was with, I was in charge of all their Canadian operations. So I was literally flying to and from Houston, which is where I live, back to Toronto. And I was like, you know what? My life is about to change seriously. So I am going to go ahead and start a business. And, you know, like a lot of entrepreneurs, like many of you guys, right? We start businesses because we absolutely love what we do, right? We love what we do. And we love what we do so much that we would actually do it for free, right? Because we just love what we do. Absolutely. And it's exactly. And it's interesting because that's exactly what I did. I started my business and I did it for free. And, you know, like I was the CPA. I was like, you know, you want to meet in a coffee shop? Yeah, we can talk tax strategy, you know, because I just loved it so much. And literally what happened was, you know, about 3 years into the business, my husband sat me down and he said, you know what, honey, you're going to be better off getting a job. And it absolutely broke my heart because he was absolutely right. Because when I was, you know, in my corporate job, I had a steady paycheck, right? Because as entrepreneurs, our money goes up and down sometimes. You know, I had a 401k, right? Because that's one of the great things about working for a Fortune 500. Yeah. And on top of that, I didn't work 80 hours a week because I was a manager. I could literally delegate the work. I had a team I could share the workload with. And it literally was, you know, a breaking point for me because I realized, you know what, something has to change. Something absolutely has to change. And a few years later, I actually was introduced to Mike Michalowicz, to Profit First. And it was just a system that made sense. You know, what it allowed me to do was align my intentions, meaning the things that I really wanted in life, that ultimate goal against my and by aligning my intentions with my actions, and it allowed me to create a strategy to really be able to accomplish the things that I want in life. And it's interesting because profit first is really exactly what it says. It's profit first. You know, you guys go into business because you love what you do and you have a talent to do it. But at the end of the day, you know, we need profits in order to fund those businesses, right? You need profit to be able to build those retained earnings. You need it to be able to not have to rely on debt when, you know, you have a customer that's slow paying, right? And also you need profit, and it's the reward. It's a reward for you guys doing a exceptional job, and you need that pat on that back, right? It's literally the reward for creating jobs. You know, small businesses, we create what, 67% of the jobs that are made right now in America, right? Literally 67%. And it's that reward for being a founder is what it is. And how Profit First works is literally it works with your small plates. It creates a small plate for you where it's called Parkinson's Law, right? Parkinson's Law literally tells us that as human beings, we are efficient, right? We're super efficient. Mm-hmm. And what that means is that literally, you know, we're going to use everything that you give to us. So like literally one of the first things they tell you when you go on a diet, and I confess I've been on a few diets, is use a smaller plate, right? And they tell you to use a smaller plate because you're going to eat less if you use a smaller plate. And so what happens, exactly. And it really does work. You know, the only thing that works in diet, and I've been on a few of them, is eating less. And literally what happens in Profit First is we create smaller plates, and we do this through the use of bank accounts. So you're going to have a plate or a bank account called a revenue account, which at that point, all of the deposits that you receive, all those sales, right, is going to go in this revenue account. And then what's going to happen is twice a month, you're going to allocate to other sub bank accounts based upon your purpose. So, you know, if funding Profit First is important, which obviously that's why we're listening to Profit First, why Profit First is so important, we're going to fund that profit account first, right? And we're going to fund that profit account before we pay any other bills. And then we're going to fund your owner's pay account, right? Because as an owner, you deserve a paycheck. And, you know, it's funny because when we ask, you know, different people, you know, different business owners, you know, who's your MVP? You know, a lot of times they'll say Mikey, Sally, Sue, Joyce, but they'll never say Sarah, you know, they'll never say Sarah out there. They'll never say that. And so really you are your MVP. When you step out of your business, nobody else is going to be able to step in and take your place, most likely if you're a small business. And that salary is needed to pay you. And it's also needed to pay you in an event that or pay who else needs to take this place in the event that you have to step out of your business, right? And I can later on, Sarah, I can tell you that story about how it's so important, how I learned the hard way on that. And then you're going to have a tax account, which is a savings account, which you're going to fund because if you're successful, right, and you're profitable and you got owners paid, then naturally you're going to have a tax obligation. That's just a natural part of life. We can't run from it. Just accept it. We can do some strategy on a high net worth side to get that down, but there's going to be tax. So we're going to reserve for taxes up front. And then and another bank account, and literally what's left over, whatever's left over, that's all you have for operating expenses. So literally you're going to have to make a decision like, all right, do I want to get that big office space downtown, or do I want to save the money so I can hire the best and brightest employees, right, to be able to give them worthy compensation so that I can track them in order to do my work that I need to do.
That is incredible. So you see, we have been doing it backwards, meaning that we try to pay for expenses and do everything else, and we're like the last people, or profit is the last thing. So yeah, definitely, you know, a lot of us have been doing it really backwards. So that is incredible. So how long after your husband had a conversation with you, did you start, you know, making the adjustment? Did you start charging and making money?
You know, honestly, it was really embracing the profit first culture, right? It was embracing that I had to get back to my why, right? Because, you know, nobody starts a business just to work 80 hours a week and never see their family. You know, I had started my business because I wanted to have more time with my little girl. I didn't want to be flying internationally every single week, right? And literally it was like coming back to the why, and then, you know, and then literally making sure that I stuck with the why, that my actions lined up with the why. So, you know, I found Profit First probably in like the fifth, sixth year of my business. And it has been a game changer, and I will never, ever, ever, ever go back. And in fact, I'm such a diehard that I'm actually writing the next book with Mike McCallowitz.
That's incredible. So going to your book, so you did write this book, The Profit First for Minority Business Enterprise with Mike, right? The original author of Profit First. Tell us a little bit about that book, because I want everybody to know about the book and the book launch and all that stuff.
Thank you. We're having a big party tomorrow. We're literally going to have the stars of the book that are going to be there. We're going to also have, some special guests. I think Mike might be there, and maybe Ron, his business partner, might be there. So you might want to check that out too. But really, it's part of the Profit First family. So it's definitely part of the Profit First family. But what makes it different is that it's really geared towards a minority business enterprise audience. And this book is special to me because I think that a lot of times as minority business enterprises, we're Gen 1 in our families. We're Gen 1, first generation in this country in a lot of cases, right? Like my father was an immigrant. He came over from Hong Kong, or we're Gen 1 from just even like first to create a new legacy. Like my mother's African American, and literally I was the first to graduate from college in my mom's family. Like we literally were three generations removed from slavery. My grandfather were sharecroppers down south, right, in North Carolina. And so thank you very much. And so a lot of times we're creating our own destiny, right? We're literally, you've heard the story, especially in immigrant families, like my dad says, they make sacrifices today so that, their children can have a better life. But, at some point we have to say, no, we're going to make a better life today for us, right? Yeah. And we're going to do that through taking our profit first. So literally this book, it is profit first. It is, the whole process of how to set up that cash management system, because first of all, Profit First is a cash management system, not an accounting system. But what makes it different is we're going to talk about things that are not necessarily passed down to Gen 1 entrepreneurs. So one of the things that about my business is most of my clients were not ethnic minorities. So that was really interesting. And it was interesting because I got to see what made them particularly successful in comparison to my minority clients, right? And it wasn't necessarily that they had money, because sometimes, I would say in a lot of these places, probably 80% of these cases, the non-minority clients, the white clients, they rose on their own, right? They weren't gifted businesses, or they didn't have families, but they made a series of different decisions that we traditionally don't make for various reasons. The other thing that I did in this book was, when I first wrote this book, I was very interested in statistics, right? I was like, maybe we should make this book about statistics. And then halfway through, I was like, we're not going to put any statistics in the book because frankly, the statistics are discouraging. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on, in statistics, you have like a bell-shaped curve, right? You have the median, you have the outliers, right, on each side. I said, let's focus on the outliers. Let's focus on the Gen 1 millionaires that really made it in their business, that are minority business enterprise. Let's interview them. Let's find out what they did special so that we can mimic those things, right? Because there are success stories outside of those statistics. And let's go ahead and pinpoint specifically what they were. And it was interesting because as I was doing the interviews, each of the people that I was interviewing, I made sure that I was very consistent about the same questions. Because you want it, when you're doing like a scientific experiment, you want to be consistent about how you treat each person. And one of my questions was, what was your biggest challenge in your business? What was the biggest hurdle or obstacle that you faced with building this business that obviously was successful because it's profitable? You're a seven-figure business owner, you're a millionaire. What made that special for you? What was your biggest challenge? And it was interesting because I expected, hypothesis, one or two people to say color of my skin, or not having opportunities. But it was interesting because nobody said that. People said, it was learning how to manage people, learning how to understand my numbers, right? Learning how to, trust my own instinct, right? And trust my own spark. But nobody said it was the color of their skin. And I said, I think we're onto something now. I think we're onto something about maybe in this century, we are our biggest hindrance, meaning that what's in our own head is what's hindering us from going to that next point, next step. Yeah. And so this book is going to talk about that. It's also going to talk about high net worth tax strategies too, right? Because one of the things that rich people do is they don't necessarily spend money to build wealth. You know, what they're able to do is they're able to save on taxes, have a bigger base, and they're able to compound wealth faster, right? Because the bigger your base, more you can invest, more interest you can get, versus going out and listening to the everyday CPA that says go buy a truck when you don't need a truck, right? And so literally, we're going to talk about high net worth tax strategies. We're going to talk about, for example, you know, how do we create generational wealth? Like maybe we can do some income shifting where maybe I'm in a 37% tax bracket, but maybe there's a child that I pay for his extracurricular activities anyway, right? That maybe he can work for me, right? And maybe he can pay for his own extracurricular activities and he just happens to be in a 0% bracket, right? He just happens to be in a 0% bracket. Maybe there's opportunities to shift money in that direction and have him start saving away from college, you know, tax-free. Maybe there's a way of creating his own net worth by shifting from my high tax bracket to his on expenses I would pay for anyway, but this time I'm going to give him job experience so that, you know, they call the 10,000 hour rule, you know, he gets a head start in life in terms of being an expert in what mom and dad does. Or maybe what we're going to do is we're going to look at like certain types of retirement accounts. We're going to look at your goals of your business. For example, you know, one of the best ways to increase profitability is to keep your A players on your team longer, right? Because when you keep your team members longer, you don't have turnover, right? You reduce turnover, which means, you know, what did they say? It costs you like, you know, almost half of their salary in a year to replace an employee, right? And so exactly. And people get better at their jobs the longer they do it, right? And so maybe what I'm going to do is say, hey, you know, we're going to create a non-safe harbor retirement account where what's going to happen is, you know what, you got to be with me for 6 years in order to fully vest in this plan. Now I'm going to make contributions to this plan. I'm going to get a tax deduction every year. But if you want to, if you want your portion, right, you're going to have to stay with me for the full 6 years in order to fully vest. And if you leave me year three, because you know, hey, you got a whole dollar more down the street, right? I get to have all this money that you put, that we put away for retirement, you have invested in. And if I'm the last one standing, that money goes to me. So again, I'm creating a tax strategy that works with my intentions and what I want from my company. So those are some things that we're going to talk about in the book, quite a few more tax strategies. We're also going to talk about government contracting, right? Because as minority business enterprises, it's actually a certification, right? Meaning that it's 51% owned by an ethnic minority.
Minority, yeah.
Exactly. And so there's that request for proposal, right? That RFP process. And you have to be careful with that RFP process because not all contracts are good contracts, right? Because literally it's the way that it's set up. You know, you're competitively bidding, right? And in the day, the one who wins the bid is the one that gets closest to zero, right? Is that a game you really want to play? Because maybe there's no chance of winning. Maybe you're better off walking away because a lot of people think, okay, these are $1 million government contracts. That just means that you're dealing with potentially $1 million losses is what it means. So maybe what type of contracts are more lucrative? We're going to talk about sole source, specialized contracts, those type of things that help you be really, really increase those profits and how to also get those.
That is incredible. So you actually go over contracting as well, not just taxes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely geared towards the minority business enterprise.
The whole minority. Okay, that is wonderful. What are some of the, I know you mentioned a couple of tax strategies, but are there some other tax strategies that you can suggest for like smaller businesses, like solopreneurs and things like that?
You know, the biggest thing is know what your ultimate goals are. Know what your ultimate goals are. And then really it's analyzing the strategy for that in order to get to that. So there's a zillion different things that we can do from a tax standpoint. I mean, there's credits that are out there right now that you can take, like the work opportunity tax credit, where if you hire people from a background that the government wants to employ more, right? And, you know, and we're not necessarily talking about criminals, but like somebody that has been on food stamps, right? The government will actually give you a tax credit for a portion of their wages, right?
Oh, wow.
And they can be a substantial portion of that. So there's a lot of different credits that are out there right now. You know, even with COVID, there's a lot of credits that are out there that you can claim too. So there's a lot on there. So it really depends on what your strategy is, you know, how you want to operate, and that is definitely the way you want to go with that.
That is incredible. You see, these are some of the things that most of us are not aware. So this is such a great education. And if you can just talk a little bit about, let's say, like accounting and, you know, systems and processes, what are the things entrepreneurs should really focus on, kind of, you know, outlining or laying the foundation of when it comes to their business? So that kind of makes that, you know, implementing profit first, you know, into their business, or even, you know, scaling their profit while leveraging, you know, the tax breaks and et cetera. So what do you recommend?
You know, it's interesting because with Profit First, you know, it's a cash management system, not an accounting system. So, you know, I get entrepreneurs that come to me every day and are like, Suzanne, I love that accounting system, Profit First. And as an accountant, you know, that's like certified and licensed, I just want to pull my hair out when they say it. I'm like, no, that's not an accounting system. Don't fire your accountant. It's a cash management system. It's literally a physics system, right? That literally, if you move money from one place to another and don't touch it, you're going to grow, you're going to accumulate profitability, right? With that. And an accounting system is, you don't want to like skip out on your accounting system. That's going to allow you to actually dive into the details, right? It's going to allow you to see, you know, how much revenue am I making from what source, right? Because at some point, Pareto principle is going to go into play, right? That 80-20 rule, where 20% of your effort is going towards 80% of your bottom line. Mm-hmm. And the only way you're going to detect that and see that is by looking at your numbers, right? Looking at that profit and loss by service line or product line for you manufacturers that are out there. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to be able to deep dive into the expenses, right? Also too, because, you know, QuickBooks, they have those lovely hyperlinks. You know, when you run that P&L to see what expenses make up that, you're going to be able to like literally take that P&L and click on the details. What is it? You know, what am I spending every single month? You know, go through it. Is this expense really producing an ROI here? And again, the only way you're going to be able to do that is by having solid financial statements.
Right. I mean, to me, profit first and accounting kind of go hand in hand, right? You have to have your accounting system so you can see your numbers. That way, whatever you're implementing with profit first, it still makes sense, right?
Absolutely.
If I'm putting profit, let's say, you know, $20,000 a month, yet I cannot meet my expenses, it will not make sense. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and really, you know, what Profit First does is, you know, like I said, you fund it your profit account, you fund it your tax account, you fund it your owner's pay account, and you fund it the things that matter to you, right?
Right.
And then what's left over is in that operating expense. And that's really there because you want to feel that tight squeeze. You know, I always tell people at the beginning of the month, you're going to feel like the richest man in the world, right? Just because you've collected all your collections, there's a plethora of money. And at the end of the month, you're going to feel like the most poorest man. You're going to be starving, right? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we want you to do is by, instead of having the whole pie, right, that you can spend on your business, because truth is your business will always need a new copier, right? It will always need another computer. The employees will always say, I got too much work. We need to hire somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. You're always going to get that message, right? But when you are working with your innate behavior and you're like, you know what, look, you're lucky you got a job today. You know what I mean? Right. We're making payroll. You're going to be able to make more decisions based out of what you have on there from that side.
Right. But even though we're putting profit away first, we definitely, you know, account for our recurring monthly expenses and kind of stash that money away, correct?
Yes, you can definitely do that. You know, at some point, budgeting is really important also. Yeah. With Profit First, because like I said, especially if you're in an industry that you're paid, like if you're, you know, in coaching and you're paid at the front of that month, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to get to the backside and have a whole lot of bills due, right? Because you're not going to be able to pay that. So you are going to want a budget. You know, I have some clients and I think it's amazing what they do. They actually create sub-accounts in their operating account. Mm-hmm. So like they'll fund their payroll account for their employees at the beginning of the month. They'll fund their rent account at the beginning of the month. And so they'll have sub-accounts of these sub-accounts. And right now BB&T is actually offering free bank accounts too, for anyone that wants to know.
Oh, that's interesting. I was going to ask you, like, in order to distribute all this money, would you need to create like completely different accounts within the same bank or different bank? What is the recommendation?
I would say for the day-to-day, you want to be within the same bank. You definitely want to be in the same bank for the day-to-day transfers, just because it's going to be easier just to go online and just make those transfers. Once you get into a quarterly, what happens is with the profit account, we start to build retained earnings. So we transfer half of that money into a retained earnings account called the vault account. And that we try to put far, far away, one of those banks that's super inconvenient to get to, that you have to like drive all the way across the other side of town. And so at that point, you'll get into those secondary accounts. And also for the tax hold account, we'll treat that the same way as we're saving for taxes at the end of the year.
Right. Like pretend it doesn't exist.
Exactly. Hide it from yourself,
It from yourself. It's there, but don't pay attention. Don't have access to it. Stay off of it, basically. That's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about your book launch. Is it going to be available, virtually? Can we attend, virtually, since we can't be in Houston, but want to be part of it? So give us a little more detail. So for those of, us that are, further away from Houston and interested to be part of it, so you can have some access.
Yeah, well, we're having a party, the big party, and it's going to be on Facebook Live. So if you look me up on Facebook, you'll be able to follow it there. It'll also be on LinkedIn if you want to follow it on LinkedIn. It'll also be on YouTube if you want to follow the party on YouTube. So yeah, it's no matter where you are in the world, you can come and celebrate. Yes, and order a
Wonderful.
book. And we also have some bonuses too going on right now too, Sarah.
So if you send me the link to that bonus, I'll definitely put it in the comment of this video. So people, when they come and listen later on, they can still take advantage, and I can also add it to the caption. Now, Facebook, is it going to be on your personal profile or in a group?
It's going to be on my personal profile. It will also be in our Profit First group. And it will be on my author page, which is at Suzanne Mariga, on Facebook. So it'll be on three different sites that you can capture. You can't miss the party.
We're going to tag you so people can easily click on your name and be able to access, the video. And what time is it going to be tomorrow?
It's going to be at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern. Okay, so it'll be one central. We'll go ahead and include the link to the promotion that you have, and then we'll make sure that you're tagged in this video. We did tag you on other posts so people can get to you easily. This was incredible. I'm so glad that we got the opportunity to talk. I've been meaning to talk to you for quite a while, so I appreciate you being available and being willing to come on here and educate all of us, because that is a topic that interests a lot of entrepreneurs. So it's been awesome.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me. We get to talk about one of my favorite topics.
Yes, it's a wonderful topic. And then we're probably gonna do part two, because I'm definitely more interested, and I know our audience is more interested. They've been commenting and dropping fire bombs the whole time. So everybody has enjoyed, this interview, and definitely the gems that you've dropped. So thank you so much, and I appreciate you, and I'll definitely be in touch.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me.
All right, awesome. Well, everybody, I hope you guys enjoyed and took notes. This is an incredible topic that a lot of entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, have been talking about. And make sure you have taken notes, and also make sure you attend the book launch tomorrow at 1 Central Time. And then we'll also drop the link to the promotion, because I would highly recommend that you read the book, because there's, as you have heard her, there's so much in the book that we can't cover today in this interview. So I thank you so much again. And if for anybody who comes and listens to the video or the interview later on, just go ahead and comment hashtag replay, so we make sure that you got a chance to listen to it. I thank you so much, and you guys have a good day. Thank you so much for joining us today. Connect with us on Instagram or join our Facebook group. Links for our Instagram and Facebook group will be in the show notes. Join us for another episode next week. Until then, keep rocking your purpose.